It's Tay Brown. You listening to Rebel Radio. Fuck you, Josh.
What's up? This is Rebel Radio.
What up? What up? This is DJ Newmark.
This is Peanut Butter Wolf.
It's your boy. It's okay.
Keep checking out Rebel Radio.
Rebel Radio.
This is Rebel Radio.
We're in the place right here. Rebel Radio is going down.
Would you say Rebel Radio?
Oh, wait. Let's do it again.
Rebel Radio.
What's up, Rebels? Welcome back to Rebel Radio, the weekly show where I bring you the Rebels who are shaping our culture. We talk about how they do it, why they do it, and what you can do to get a little piece of the pie for yourself. We're also the only show to bring you new music every week from our friends over at EDM.com. I'm your host, Josh Levine. With me in studio this week is Tay Brown. Tay is a singer, rapper from Maryland. Definitely on his way up, but he's already having some good success. He's on tour, he's been on tour with Ski Mask the Slump God, if you're familiar with him. If you're not, you need to get up on your hip hop. Tay's got some great music coming out and a really interesting story about how his kind of mission, his message has changed as a result of feedback that he started getting from fans, which I think is just so relevant for all of us. I hope you'll dig Tay's story. I really did. Let's get into it right after the EDM.com track of the week.
I like this. I y'all peppin' your step like this.
Y'all rep the Southwest like this.
Make a no turn to yes like this. I ain't heard nobody come correct like this. Now
I'm head hogging, they head nodding, I can't nag it. I'm blessed, fresh, dressed to impress. Yes, yes. That's checks, 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 checks and XSSS. Like fuck they expect, like fuck they XX. Oh, that's hugs and kisses, drugs on dishes, me mugs on bitches. That funks with this shit. More love, no limits. Cash can't move mountains. Throw Benji's at her and watch how it bounces.
Yo, that was Centerfolds by Creature, Toussaint Laurens, Derek Royce, and E. Meezy. The EDM.com track of the week. If you like that one, get over to EDM.com. Check out more new music. And let's get into the interview with Tay Brown. Tay Brown, thank you, man. I appreciate you being here.
Thank you for
I mess with your music. I've been listening to it. And excited to talk about how it's all coming together. So you're in town for Rolling Loud?
Yeah.
How was it?
It was alright. It was cool.
Was your first time at Rolling Loud?
Nah, it's like my third time.
Oh, okay.
First time was in the Bay. Second time was in Miami.
Nice. Yeah. And what was did you see the show? Did you go see anybody else's shows, or you were strictly backstage?
Yeah, I went out for a couple of people. I went out for Dirt.
Okay.
Trippy, but it was kind of backstage, but it wasn't like.
You got to see some performances.
Yeah.
What was the highlight?
The highlight for me was when Shorty came out and Mozzie said. Just to see, like, cause he from where I'm from, so like, just to see how like everybody from out here was fucking with him.
Yeah.
Cause you know what I'm saying. So it's just like to be in another state.
Sure.
And see your mans get love like that.
Yeah, I love it when you go to festivals and you see the artists walking around, or even just watching the music. Yeah. You know what I mean? Cause sometimes, you know, you forget that people are fans too.
Yeah.
Just because you make music doesn't mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah, still, exactly.
And so I think that's a great, you know, that's a great difference, I think, between festivals and like a regular concert is, yeah. You know, you'll see the artists hanging out, being part of the experience. Nice. How was the crowd? L.A. gets a lot of criticism for people think L.A. crowds are too cool to, you know, we don't really party.
For real?
I've heard it.
I don't know, like... don't know. Maybe it was kind of, I don't know, the Bay. I remember being in the Bay and it was crazy.
Yeah, they go crazy in the Bay.
But just from, like, experience just performing in L.A.,
yeah,
the West Coast is always better than the East Coast.
Is that right?
Hell yeah. New York, they look at you like,
right,
who is this nigga on stage?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's been going on forever, right? New York's pretty, yeah, they're pretty closed off if you're not from there. And I think we're always a little bit more open. I want to talk about kind of how you got started. Going back, all the way back, do you remember the first record you ever bought?
Album by Bow Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Man, young. That was my nigga back in the day.
Uh-huh.
That was like the first artist I was really fucking with.
Okay.
I forgot the name though.
Yeah, Bow Wow, he had a moment, for sure.
Yeah, people be sitting on him, but it's like, he definitely had his weight.
I think it's hard, man. It's hard it's hard coming from, you know, being a kid to then try to be taken seriously as an adult, you know what I mean?
Especially as a rapper.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I think in general, they didn't really, you know, we don't really take kid rappers too seriously.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you grow up and you're like, I'm a man now, I want to be singing that way. But, you know, to us, he's still a little Bow Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it. That's a challenge. And then how did you get started rapping? Were you hooked from day one or?
Yeah. I always wanted to be in music. My father's in the industry.
Oh, okay.
So
what's he do?
Right now he's a writer. He's a composer.
Oh, nice.
But he used to be an artist.
Okay.
And
so did he encourage you? Like, was he helping you? Or was he like, don't do what I did?
It was kind of like, it wasn't that. It was that without that. You feel me? Like, he wasn't straight up being like, don't do it. Because he a supportive person, like, always. But he kind of just let me rock and grow, like. So, yeah. It wasn't until recently he was like, all right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, just being around him in the studio all the time.
Yeah.
I had no choice but to, like, fall in love with or hate it.
Sure. Yeah, it can kind of go either way, right? So, where'd that first song come from when you first kind of started making song. Music?
GarageBand.
Uh-huh.
It's a garage band? Yeah, it's rock band.
Uh-huh.
But can't got that for Christmas. I had a mic, a USB mic, so put it in my mother's computer. And that's literally when I made my first song.
Uh-huh. And then did you go out and, like, were you rapping in front of people?
Nah, hell no. Keep it to
yourself.
Yeah.
So what was that first time when, like, you finally got in front of a crowd?
That wasn't until I went to college.
Okay. Actually, where'd you go to school?
I went to school in SUNY Purchase in New York.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's when I first performed. Well, that's not true, actually. I did, like, little talent shows.
Uh-huh.
But I was just too shy. Like, I was terrible. I had to come into this.
It's scary, man. I don't know, like.
Yeah, I don't know how people are so confident in themselves. Yeah. Like, they so confident, they should be trash half the time, but they so confident. And it's like, it's a skill, like, I ain't shooting nobody down, but like, some people just don't got that.
How many of you use freelancers in your business? Well, I can tell you, in my business, at Rebel Radio, at Rebel Industries, we use freelancers constantly. We're always looking for help on different projects, and finding the right freelancers is so important to us. We've done it all different types of ways, and finding the right freelancer can be time-consuming, frustrating, and expensive. That's why I'm excited to welcome Fiverr to our show, our newest sponsor. It's a marketplace that helps you get more done with less. Connects businesses with freelancers who offer digital services, everything from graphic design, copywriting, web programming, film editing, anything you can think of, within reason, of course. But you can find what you're looking for instantly. You can search by service, deadline, price. You can see reviews. You know exactly what you're paying for upfront. And their customer service is excellent. So use Fiverr to get quality talent you can count on. Check out Fiverr.com right now and you'll get 10% off your first order by using my code REBELRADIO. It's so easy. Don't waste any more time and get the service you need by going to fiverr.com. That's two R's. Code Rebel Radio. Fiverr, it starts here.
So how was, so when, how'd it feel? Like, did you,
Like, go, the first time?
Yeah, like, were you like, oh shit, this is me now?
Yeah, like, I feel like I deserve to be on a stage.
Uh-huh.
And the first stage wasn't that type of stage. It was like one of them stages, like, on the same level as niggas.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like, I was.
Oh, yeah.
I was just like, damn. But and also didn't know how to perform.
Sure.
But that I quickly ended that shit when I went on tour.
Okay.
For some reason, like, got that Henny in me.
Uh-huh.
And I had no choice but to show out.
Yeah.
Because it was like 3,000 people. So.
So was there a moment when you felt like, I got this? Like, this is my career. This is what I'm supposed to be doing.
Yeah, when I got a DM from somebody said that, like, they was, like, close to committing suicide. And they said that I helped them. That's when I knew. I was like, wow. All right, I should be doing this. I shouldn't stop.
Yeah. Did you talk to that person? Or did
Yeah.
You?
I responded to him.
Yeah.
But that was, like, when I knew. I was like, word?
That's crazy, man. I mean, you know, obviously we know that music has healing power.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it, to me, I think, I don't know if we fully understand that. To me, it's like it brings people together, and that connectedness is what is lacking sometimes, and we need that.
Mm-hmm.
And then not to get too, you know, deep, but obviously, you know, we're seeing what a lot of the artists go through, you know, in terms of their, you know, challenges, their kind of disconnectedness from everybody else. How much are you thinking about that?
It depends. I know how to, like, write from different perspectives.
Mm.
So I've always been good at that. But, like, it wasn't until, like, I realized that it doesn't matter. Your perspective is just as, like, your perspective is all you need for real. And then once I, like, realized that, and, like, I didn't have to, like, write to please other people,
mm-hmm.
or please, like, write music that I feel like other people want to listen to. I just wrote music that was true to me.
Yeah.
That's when I started, like, seeing success.
Okay.
I remember I was fucking up mama trying to get through to me. As a boy, I was running my mouth, gang members were suing me. Daddy left, I was running the house, drug dealing was chosen me. My family was losing me. I see LA come on, run down, run down. Ever lived in a home that was run down, run down. I'm a grown man, I won't run now, run now. Traveling on that to the sundown, sundown.
So what was the first song that like, really started to catch people's attention?
First song was a song called Count On Me that I dropped like 4 years ago. That was like a little baby buzz.
Uh-huh.
And then From Me I dropped last 2 years ago. 2 years ago? March 2000. It was a year ago.
Okay.
March 2018, that's when I just got mad buzz, like, mm-hmm. out of nowhere, just from people, random people. That's the song that I got the DM from the kid from.
Yeah.
And then that's when United Masters hit me up, was like, we like your song, like, come distribute it through here. So that's the first song.
Nice.
From me.
Yeah. So how you feeling when you get that call? Like, obviously you're just working, making music, and then you start hearing from people like United Masters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know you're probably hearing from different labels.
Yeah.
What's going through your head?
It ain't nothing to the check sign. For real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get it. I mean, I feel like it's such a hard road, and there's all these like signs along the way that tell you if you're on the right track or not, and sometimes it's hard to like
tell, yeah.
make sense of those when they're coming.
Oh shit.
And then you went on tour with Ski Mask, right?
Mm-hmm.
I ain't really fucking with these niggas like a dyke. You can look tiger, I tell them earn your stripes.
You tryna beat me, but bigger never in your life. Even if you had on my sneakers like Bow and like Mike, like Gotti, nigga, watch me be disgusting.
Was that like the first big tour?
Yeah.
Yeah.
First big ass tour. That shit was crazy.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Tell me about it.
So like, he was people that was the main opener for him was Bandhunter Izzy.
Okay.
And that's a Baltimore artist. And they the people that was behind it hit me up, was like, yo, come on a tour. So I was like, all right, bet. And so every night, my first show was in Phoenix. Mm. And that's when I was like, yes, this is what I need to be doing every night. That shit was fun. Other people, like, the other rappers weren't, like, excited about it as much as I was. Is maybe because right? They was used to that shit.
But like, sure.
I couldn't wait to just do it again the next night.
Yeah.
But even though, like, nobody knew who the fuck I was, they were showing love.
Yeah.
But, like, it was still fun to
say. Got one in the head because all these niggas hate me, baby. That's why I'm told up. Don't know when I'm leaving, baby. That's why I'm loving you, living life while I'm breathing, baby.
Just like I know. So what'd you learn? You said from, you know, that first time on stage, you realize it's a skill, right? And you and it's something you got to work on and develop. So from there to that night in Phoenix, what did you learn? Like, what was?
I don't know. Like, as soon as I got there, I just felt comfortable. It was probably the Henny more than anything else, but I just felt comfortable. And no, like before, like I didn't know how to perform. Like I wouldn't look people in their eyes. I would just kind of stay to myself. But for some reason, the love they showed out there was just like, this is young kids too, so like,
sure.
They just there to have fun. So it was kind of easy. And yeah, it wasn't no like transition. I was trash and then I wasn't. Yeah.
You think it's just like getting comfortable?
Yeah, I think it's just about being comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. I mean, you know, I always think like if you want to find the great performers, like watch the opening acts. Because it's easy to go and hear the songs that you love and you know all the words. And,
exactly.
You know, and sometimes, you know, sometimes you can get away with a lot.
Hell yeah.
If people just like your songs, right? But if they never heard the songs before,
yeah, you got
it's on you
yeah,
to go sell them.
Exactly. But nah, I definitely got booed a couple times. Mostly like during the shows, I had hella openers though.
Right.
Like major cities like Atlanta would have like hella openers. That was my worst show.
Is that right?
Yeah, because there's just so many people, and people just tired. They're trying to see the main act, which I understand.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So you get booed with?
Like one person. It's not like the whole group.
Right.
That
okay.
would never happen. You
know? Right.
I'm too nice for that shit. But it'd be like, I heard one, I was like, damn, what do I do?
Yeah.
And you had to keep going though.
Sure.
But I was definitely feeling some type of way.
Yeah.
That shit was funny though.
Yeah, you can't let it get in your head, right?
Yeah.
But that's probably easier said than done.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
But that show was bad for a couple reasons. Like, we're performing, like, halfway through, my mic cut off. So I'm thinking, like, the engineer did that shit. So I get off the stage, ready to go beat this shit out, this nigga. And then my stage manager just stopped me because he feel like I was the one that turned that shit off.
Oh, shit.
So I left early and shit. It was just bad. It was hella people there too, like hella label people.
Yeah.
Artists, Lil Yachty was there. I was just going out sad. But yeah, you live and you learn for real.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's so much that can go wrong, right? And so, you know, you just have to roll with it.
Yeah.
So going out with Ski Mask, so how does that change the game for you? Like, how does it change people's, you know?
Like, look at me?
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I just get a little bit more respect, I guess. Right?
You start getting calls?
Yeah.
DMs, that kind of thing?
Yeah, on that tour, it was crazy. Again, hella fans from that.
Yeah.
They always like, come back out the city, come back out the city. I'm like, there gotta be enough people to book me.
Right.
You feel me? Like enough people to come out just because it's like maybe it'll be like 10 people in one city. I'm like, damn, I would go out there, but it's not feasible.
Yeah.
I'm excited to welcome Honeybook back to our show. They were with us last year and they've come back for 2020, which obviously means they're a great fit for what we're doing, what you're doing. And I really think it's a great service. So I'm excited to continue to share it with you. If you have your own business, like I do, if you're a freelancer or you're running a small business, you're the boss, but you're also doing everything else. You're doing all the admin, all the contracts, all the invoices, all the everything, and it's a lot. And if you don't do it, it doesn't get done. So you need Honeybook. Honeybook is an online business management tool that organizes all your client communications, bookings, contracts, invoices in one place. You can use it with the other services you probably already use, like QuickBooks, Google Suite, MailChimp. It lets you automate your business work. There's easy to use templates for everything you need, pretty much. And helps you get paid faster and most importantly just get more done with less time so you can focus on the things you really care about. Right now Honeybook is offering our listeners 50% off when you visit honeybook.com/rebel. Payments flexible and our promotion applies whether you pay monthly or annually. Go to honeybook.com/rebel today for 50% off your first year. That's honeybook.com/rebel.
How did he find you?
Oh, Ski Mask didn't find me. I met him on there. He was just like, Dan Hunter Izzy's people found me and told me to hop on a tour with him. And
that's cool.
When I met him. But I'm cool with Ski now, though. That's my boy.
So is it like, I know you're from Maryland. Are you from Baltimore?
Outside of Baltimore.
Outside? What's it called?
Columbia.
Okay. And so is it, obviously there's a lot of music coming out of Maryland, D.C., that whole...
Hell yeah.
Area.
It's so much, but it's just like none is breaking through.
Yeah. I was at a Christmas party the other night. Wale was performing.
Yeah. Wale. You got people like Wale.
That was a long time ago.
But yeah, it's a long time
ago. So what's the scene out there like now? I mean, music. Obviously, you know, that area, you know, is famous for Wale, is famous for Go-Go. There's like certain people that come out of there. But tell us about the scene right now.
It's a lot of good artists coming out of there. They're getting a little bit more recognition than they were in the past, like maybe 4 years.
Uh-huh.
Like this couple years, you've gotten a lot more recognition. Baltimore, seems like more people in the DC, DMV area getting more love.
Yeah.
But then you got people like Shorty, Behind the Izzy, Young Moose that are coming out, people starting to see, but we ain't there yet though.
Yeah. Do you feel like there's a certain sound?
It was a certain sound, and I feel like that was it's like our sound hasn't been made mainstream yet, so the people who are mainstream kind of branched out to a different sound.
Mm.
Like Shorty, like that's why he up right now, because he branched out.
Okay.
And that sound, that Baltimore sound, ain't mainstream yet. Like, it can happen.
Yeah.
Just like it happened in Florida.
Sure.
It's like it's happening in New York. But it just hasn't yet, for real. And the DMV, shit, don't talk about, yo, everybody taking our flow. Everybody. I don't care what nobody say. We started that shit, and then now all the artists that are blowing up, all the artists that are using that flow are blowing up. Instead of the people that are from here.
Right.
This shit is crazy.
So, like, who's got that type of flow?
Like, you got, like, Stunner for Vegas.
Uh-huh.
He pay homage, but it's like, he just blew up off our shit.
Yeah.
Goddamn. Everybody, like, even Lil Uzi. Just hella people. Like, Splurge, he blew up off our flow. Just hella people, for real.
So how much do you think about that when you're making music? Like,
I don't think about it.
No.
Cause I rap like that sometimes.
Right.
That's not even my main source of income.
What do you mean?
Like, I do get a lot. People do ask me to rap more, but like singing is my main thing.
Uh-huh.
So, and I just do all kinds types of things, like all types of different types of music. So I ain't really worried about that shit, because you can't compete. Like, all you got to do is compete with yourself, like, feel me?
I guess what I'm wondering is, like, when you're making music, are you thinking about, like, who, is there somebody that you're writing for? Is it for your hood? Is it for the, you know, the whole world? Is it, like, do you have something in mind?
I haven't really thought about that. I just kind of write music, what I'm feeling at the time. But, like, the last mixtape, I have written a couple songs for, like, the youth who are going through shit. Like, after I got that DM, I was like, all right, I'm going to use that. Whatever I'm doing right.
Yeah.
So I'm going to use that. So I made a song called Be Yourself. And that was, like, mainly for, like, the kids, like, the X fans and the Juice WRLD type fans. Uh-huh. Yeah. So I did that specifically for them.
Nice. And do you see that, like, as far as how it's received? Are you feel like you're reaching those kids?
Hell yeah. Because people tell me all the time. I still get DMs to this day talking about, you changed my life. I'm like, how? But it's good. Like, I mean, like, I feel like it's more than just, like, now I like money, but, like, now it's more like I could do something with it. Like, I have, like, I contribute to society. I always tell this to my father when he was just thinking I'm bullshit. I'm like, man, I contribute to society. Yeah. I help kids. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
So it's like, give me, like, another reason to do it.
That's not what you set out to do, right? That just kind of happened.
Yeah, nah. I like music, just in general. I've always liked making music. So.
Yeah.
But now that there's, like, a more or less selfish reason,
uh-huh.
give me more. A bigger motive.
Yeah.
For it.
Yeah. So you're distributing with United Masters still?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so you must be hearing from labels.
Yeah, a little bit here and there. Well, mainly A&Rs really.
Uh huh.
But you know, that's all. Like I said, it ain't nothing to the check is signed.
Sure.
I present it. From me, need someone who gon' ride for me. This forever be the last story. At least being lonely don't lie to me.
So take us through that a little bit, because obviously, you know, until recently, it's really hard for artists to come up without a label.
Right, yeah.
And so now we know that, you know, there's lots of other options, and, you know, more and more people are starting to do it independently. And so, kind of give me a little bit of your thought process on, like, you know, if I'm an artist starting out, you know, how am I making that decision? You know, if labels are coming at me.
I say, like, if you have a team, don't sign to no label if it's just you. Because what you're going to do is, especially if you broke, what you're going to do is just use that money and spend it on yourself.
Sure.
Because the labels, they'll put money behind you, but they're not going to put no effort behind you.
Yeah.
So it's like, if you just signing, you got to use that money that you get to work on yourself too. Like, pretend like you don't even have a backing. You just got a check.
Right.
So put that all back into the music. But I'm not even worried about signing to a label for real.
What do you think?
But, like, if you had a team, like, I was, like, if you had a team that knew what they were doing, like, good at marketing, you had all your own artists, your own graphic design people, your own booking agents, then you take that bag and you feel me, you put it into music, like I said.
Sure.
But if you just buy yourself, because there's too many people out there that sign to labels for money, and that money go away.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So if you don't use it to make more money, it's just a waste.
I mean, I get it. That seems like, you know, if you're young and somebody's showing you a check bigger than anything you've ever seen in your life, it's got to be tempting. It's going to be hard to say no.
Hell yeah, and it was.
Yeah.
But you got to just, like, have more, got to see more worth in yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think would make it? What would it take to sort of, you know, not, I don't want to say change your mind, but like, what would somebody, what would a label need to bring to the table for it to make it worthwhile? Or is that just off the table? You're going to be independent no matter what.
Nah, I would.
I'm not trying to talk you into anything. I'm just curious.
I feel you. I don't know. It would just have to be more like, I wouldn't sign to a label right now, a major label.
Yeah.
Unless I was up, like I had, you feel me? Unless I can really negotiate the numbers.
Yeah.
But if I can't really do that now, then it's like, it's a waste because them shits lock you in for real.
So what do you do to, I think sometimes it's hard to know where you are.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because you know where you came from and you know, but, you know, I always see, you know, it's how can I say it? Like, it's easy to overestimate, like, people, like, you know, I came from playing for five people in my living room to now I'm on these big, you know, I'm on Rolling Loud, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I mean, I think the people who are on top got to the top too quickly, and that's why they're kind of weak now.
Yeah.
But I don't feel like I can't, like, I'm not the type of person to go viral. Like, I don't know how to do that shit. So I'm fine. Like, I'm just keep working and slowly build my fan base. As long as I like to do it, it's like,
yeah,
I ain't really worried about nothing.
Yeah.
It's only gonna get better. You know what I'm saying? So.
If you're digging this one, let's go back in the Rebel Radio archives. Check out my interview. I think it was a couple years ago with Old Man Saxon. If you watched the Netflix show Rhythm and Flow last year, Saxon made it really far along in that competition. And he has some great stories to tell on our show about going from being homeless to building his rap career and just some really interesting twists and turns that his life took. So I hope you'll dig that one too.
So what do you look for then? Like, I heard somebody talking the other day about how, you know, in the old days, or let's say before streaming, it was like you work really hard to make an album. You put all this money and time, and you know, a year went by making an album, and then it either hits or it doesn't.
Yeah.
And you know, like, usually after the first weekend, you know if you got something, right?
Right.
And if you don't, you're kind of done. You're either your career's over, or you got to go work on it for another year and try to come back, right? And so they were talking about how, you know, with streaming now, there's really no misses. Like, you can put out a song, it might react or not, and you can drop another one, or you can.
Yeah, but it's like, if it ain't better than the last,
yeah,
it's kind of L. But life.
So is that what you're watching for? You're looking at, like, did we stream more on this track than the last one? Just, well, increase each time?
Song's going to either, you feel me? I don't look at the individual tracks because that's too, like, it's too shaky. But, like, I look at the album streams.
Okay.
So, like, my first album, I'm not calling them albums. I'm calling them mixtapes.
Yeah.
First mixtape did good for me at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Second one did way better. So that's how I know, like, I'm on the right track of growing.
Yeah.
And if it was shit, I don't know. If it wasn't for streams, I don't know what I'd be. I'd probably be working a job right now. But.
Yeah.
But, like, that shit really saved. That shit really legitimized irrelevant people.
How do you mean?
Like, it really, like I said, like, you can do, like you said, you could do more now because of streams. Like, you can reach more people.
Yeah.
Because, like, people are going to listen to your shit more than they're gonna just buy your shit outright.
Sure.
So people could just easily stream your shit and you get paid for it. Now people can make careers out of nothing.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing and also a bad thing. But hey, I'm living in this world, so fuck it.
That's right. How do you, I think I read somewhere that you have like a unusual high engagement with your fans.
Yeah.
What do you do? So if I'm an up and coming artist, like, give me some advice on what.
Oh, I couldn't even tell you. I don't know how that shit work, man. They fuck Instagram fucking it up too, but
how's that?
They just making it harder.
Well, they want that money, right?
Yeah, exactly.
They want you to pay them.
It's so much harder now, but I don't know. I just kind of have, like, I just been lucky, really, just have fans that really, like, will engage with you.
Yeah.
Like, and I always respond to, like, I always just show love, because, like, if you support me, like, I used to be hated on. So now that I get love, I'm going to show that love back.
Yeah. When were you getting hated on?
Just growing up, man.
Uh-huh.
Hell yeah. But it's crazy, because now everybody would be on my fucking dick. It's sick, man, especially back home. They don't show love until you,
right,
until you go out, you leave, you get love, and they see that. I'm like, oh, now I'm going to show love. But, yeah, I always show, you feel me, I go on live with, like, all my fans.
Okay.
If you're a fan, I'll be on live, and I request, and people request, and I go live with everybody. And I respond as soon as they hit me up. I don't respond to everybody, because it's a lot, but, sure. Respond to a lot of them.
But you do it yourself? You don't have somebody like...
Nah, I do it all myself.
Yeah.
I hate Instagram. Once I'm to a point where I don't really have to do all that shit,
I'm gonna
be off that shit. Hell yeah. It's stressful, yo.
Why?
Because it's like, it's what you need. Right in this day and age, like, you need that.
Sure.
You need either that or streams.
Yeah.
But it's all linked together, so.
And are you messing with all the, with TikTok, Triller, like, all that new stuff?
I was definitely rocking with Triller. I don't know how to use TikTok.
Okay.
But I'm going to learn, though.
Yeah. Snapchat?
Nah, not Snapchat's really for my personal life.
Okay.
I had nobody on Snapchat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So how do you decide? I mean, that's like, to me, that seems like one of the hardest parts of being an artist today is, like, there's so many channels. People want access to you.
Yeah.
It sounds like you want to, you know, kind of have that access to them as well.
Yeah.
But it's not easy, right?
It's not easy. You got to really, like, figure out.
So do you sit and strategize with your team? I know we got your manager right here. Do you guys strategize around that, or is it just a natural thing?
We talk about it. But at first, I was just, you know, figuring out what to do.
Sure.
And it kind of just came natural, like, through Instagram. So, but now that it's like a business, like, you really have to, like, think about it. Figure out when you're going to drop it, what you're going to drop, how many you're going to drop, like, how many posts a week and shit.
Yeah.
It's like a job.
Yeah. Let me ask you something, manager. Because I know you work with a lot of social influencers, and so can you teach people how to do that, or do people just have to know? Are you just looking for people that know how to do it?
No, there's a formula to it. You know, we were talking when he wasn't, like, engaging as much.
Uh-huh.
He was saying that engagement was going down, and he's right. It is stressful because you do have to constantly be making content, because when you go away, it stops, you know, recommending your content to your fans.
Oh, hell yeah.
You know, you could have 25,000, 100,000, 5 million followers. If you're not posting regularly, you know, it's not like everybody sees your content. Like, maybe 10% of your audience will see it inherently.
If that, right?
At most, right? Yeah. Like, that's inherent. So if you're posting posting regularly, then, like, you know, it's a higher percentage of that audience, plus audience outside of your followers that are actually going to see it. So you have to prep for
that. Is that the biggest thing, is frequency?
Frequency for, it depends on the platform.
Okay.
So for, like, Instagram, frequency is very important, yeah.
Yeah.
YouTube's different. Now, we don't really do as much with YouTube right now, because music is a little bit different than, like, YouTube, but, like,
sure.
You know, with YouTube, you can hit trends.
Right.
So if you're a gamer, you can talk about a specific game.
Right.
And then you'll trigger the algorithm for the game. So you have, like, your audience,
uh-huh.
plus, like, hey, you're in this genre that people are interested in.
Got it.
So you have to be, it's crazy how analytical you have to be and actually strategize with, like, what you're, you know, with the picture.
Yeah.
To see how many people see your picture.
Sure.
It's actually crazy how much goes into it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's, you know, it's definitely harder, you know, my friends who are older, older generations of artists, like, they really struggle with it because they're just not used to it. A, you know, not everybody knows how to, but just the thinking is so different, right? That, you know, these people grew up like kind of hiding behind the scenes, go out on tour or whatever, you know, a photo shoot once a year was like their, or a video shoot, you know what I mean? But I think a lot of people struggle with that.
I mean, you could really have a whole career though, but not even really engaging with Instagram. Cause I see like artists with like way less followers than me.
Yeah.
But their streams is like, they tour.
Yeah.
So it's like, what's the problem? If you're making money off tours, you're making streams, you'll slowly grow. But like, you don't really have to be like viral all the time.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a great point. Like, we've always had that. There's always been artists that, you know, were, you know, their success was because their music got played on radio. And then you have some other artists that never got radio, but their tours would sell out, right? I know Lil Skies, huge on YouTube. I think he's bigger on YouTube than he is on Spotify, right? And, you know, for whatever reason, like, there's just so many different avenues. And I think a lot of times we think we have to do everything. Maybe talk us through that a little bit. Do you like, how much are you thinking about, like, if I do this one thing, like, that's my main focus versus, like, making sure everything else is covered?
I mean, that's how I used to think, but, like, you gotta kind of focus on everything.
Yeah.
But I used to just be like, I'm gonna just make music.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's more than that. You gotta do videos, gotta do press.
Yeah.
Gotta blogs and shit like that. It's all important for real.
Yeah. What's next for you?
Just more growth for real. But
Wait, what are you most excited about?
Definitely some more shows, more festivals, more videos, just more of everything, more money, all of that.
Of course.
Yeah. But it's like, I don't really like, it's just like, I know the year is going to be better than the last. Uh-huh. So I don't even worry about it. Like, it's just like, it's just, yeah, I take it year by year. It gets better every year so far.
Yeah.
But yeah. I'm just excited for the new year. Just, you feel me?
Nice. That's way better than being afraid or, you know, dreading it, right?
Nah, I can't be afraid, nah.
What about, you know, you were talking about the DMs you get, right? The people that you're, you know, say that you're helping them through your music.
Mm-hmm.
Is that... how much is that sort of part of what you're trying to do?
What do you mean, like, reaching people?
Yeah, is it like I don't know, is there like a goal behind that, or is it just kind of let it flow naturally?
I let it flow naturally, for real. Hey, what do you mean goal, like?
I don't know. I think, well, it's like you said, you didn't start out making music to have like a message behind it.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Right, but you see it resonating with people, right? Connecting with people. So, is that changing your process at all?
Yeah, it definitely did. But like I said, it just comes out. I just write. I don't have to think about that because I just write what I feel at the moment, and it just comes naturally. Because there's always gonna be people that's gonna relate to your specific situation.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I used to write, about like my father not being in my life because I knew, because that's everybody I grew up with didn't have a father. So I wrote about that to relate to more people.
Yeah.
But that's not the case. My father was always in my life. And it's also out other people who have their father in their life, so I can reach them.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? I can be specific. Like, I don't have to, like, pander to like a group of people. Right. I can just be myself, and there's always gonna be somebody out there that's gonna relate. So I don't have to like worry about that shit.
Yeah. You know, what about, you know, you're talking about Juice, you know, when you heard the news, like, does that, you know, does that stuff affect, like, the you know, what you want to do, how you want to make music?
Yeah, man, like, Juice was like, I remember my second biggest song, a song called Lie to Me, and he, that came literally after listening to his Lucid Dreams. Like, he literally inspired a group of, like, it's like a genre of my music.
Yeah.
Like, Peace Up. Because I do all types of shit. But, like, he was, like, that artist. I was fucking with him heavy. I should have said what's up to him. They didn't get to say what's up to him because I was at the Ski, their show. They were touring together.
Right.
And I went to see him in D.C. I was like, I'll meet him another time. I go to the studio anytime, do a song. Like, it's going to happen. So I wasn't worried about it. Sure enough, this shit happened. I'm like, damn.
Yeah.
But that's just how life is, for real.
Yeah. Yeah, we never know what's coming, right?
Yeah. That shit crazy. Yeah.
Okay. Lightning round. What's your favorite city to travel to?
City?
Yeah.
Shit. Miami.
Oh, yeah, I love Miami.
I mean, it's for different reasons, but, like, yeah, Miami.
Yeah. What's the reason?
It's the weather.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so tired of
East Coast.
Yeah.
Definitely. Well, if we come to Baltimore, what should we see?
What do you mean?
Just, like, give me some highlights in Baltimore. What's, I've been to D.C. a few times, but I've never been to Baltimore.
D.C., there's a nice, so, like, you can go to D.C. and really stay out the mix. And be fine. Baltimore is a small part that's safe.
Uh-huh.
For real. Everything outside of the inner harbor.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Is that right?
Yeah, man.
Who's your favorite DJ?
DJ? DJ Scheme. And DJ Cinco.
Cinco?
Cinco from DC. He was the DJ on the tour.
Okay, cool. I don't know how much time you have to read. What's the last great book you read?
Last great book I read was The Four Agreements.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's great. Love that. I read it a few times. I always go back to it.
Yeah, exactly. That type of shit.
What movie have you seen the most in your life?
Definitely. Let's see. It's a movie called Jumper.
Jumper?
Yeah. It's a trash movie, but I fuck with that shit so hard.
Oh, really? I don't know if I know it.
That shit was hard.
But it's funny. Everybody I ask, like, I would say half of them are trash movies. But yeah. We just, you know, we fuck with them for whatever reason.
I don't know what it is.
That's funny. Is there a style that you had growing up that you're glad is not on social media?
Oh, hell yeah. Niggas used to rock colored skinny jeans back in the jerking. Because I know it's big out here. Shit moved, got all the way to the East Coast.
Yeah.
And middle school used to dance and shit.
That's funny.
Though. I don't regret it, though. Just glad it's not.
Yeah, that's right. You want to leave it in the past.
Yes, sir.
If you could wake up tomorrow morning having gained one skill or ability, what would it be?
Guitar.
Nice. That's a good one. If I worked for you or I was on your team, what's something I would hear you say over and over?
With a Henny at?
You guys need a Henny sponsorship.
Yeah. Nice. I don't want to do that, though. I just feel like it's too stereotypical.
Right.
But that's my father shit on me all the time about it.
They do support a lot of, I mean, you know, they support a lot of hip-hop, though.
Yeah. They got to. They better.
Yeah. You know, that's it's new though. Like they, you know, I remember I was talking to somebody about that the other day. Like, you know, one time somebody interviewed the CEO of Cristal.
Oh yeah.
And was like, what do you think about these rappers? You know, I think it was something about Jay-Z, and he was like, well, we can't stop people, but he was kind of saying like they didn't want to support, and then Jay-Z and them launched their own champagne, right? And
I remember that.
There's been a lot of that. You know, it's only more recently that you see, you're right, they should
support.
Because
they got no choice. They have no choice. Like, we the biggest consumers in America, like black people, straight up. If it wasn't for us, niggas go out of business.
Yeah, I think it's taken a long time. It's taken generations for these companies to kind of wrap their heads around that.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously now you see it. Now you see LVMH working with Rihanna.
Just Gucci. Yeah. Finally fucking Gucci with
Gucci and Dapper
man.
Dan.
So that's crazy.
Yeah. So how's everybody find you?
Oh, you follow me on Instagram at Real Tay Brown. That's Real T-A-Y-Y Brown.
Tay with two Y's.
Tay with two Y's, yes, sir.
Right on.
And that's everywhere. YouTube, Tay Brown.
Send a man a DM if he changed your life. Tay Brown, thanks for doing this, man.
Yeah,
I appreciate
you. Thank you, bro. I appreciate
it. It was fun. Come back anytime you're in town.
Yes, sir.
Hey, that was Tay Brown on Rebel Radio. Make sure you check out Tay's music. And make sure you leave us a comment. Let us know how you felt about that one. Give us some feedback. Tell us, give us some suggestions for who else we should have on the show. I'd love to hear from you. You can find us on Twitter at Rebel Radio Net. Facebook, same thing. You can watch videos of a lot of our episodes showing up on our YouTube channel at Rebel Radio Net. And most importantly, come back next week for more Rebel Radio. Peace.